We're glad you're in your chair this morning. And it just shows you how the Holy Spirit works. I don't know if this was the Holy Spirit or not, but this is a message coming on the heels of the 40-year anniversary of Bob Knight throwing the chair across. So I hate to blame that on the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? But anyway, good to have you all here today. And we're contemplating what's in a chair. Whether your seat is occupied or it's empty, it tells others quite a bit. You can look around this morning and see that there's sickness in the community, you know, of just people not feeling well, got some sort of a flu bug or another. And that's one thing that can tell us the story. Maybe the chair that you occupy or others occupy have been empty for 6 weeks now. You know, if we were to look around and try to contemplate that for a moment, who hasn't been here in 6 weeks? And so what we need to remember is that every seat out here, even the ones that are unoccupied, tell a story. And so we have to ask, what's your story? In Luke 14, 1 through 24, it's not the entire chapter, but much of it is Jesus attends at Pharisee's house for dinner and shares a parable known as the parable of the great banquet. A man hosts a large feast and sends out numerous invitations and invites to many guests, but they make excuses to not attend. The host is angered by their refusals, and this leads to the host to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind instead, signifying that God's invitation to his kingdom is open to all, regardless of social status. And those who might initially seem unworthy are welcome to join in and to fill the seats at the banquet hall. We're just going to take a few moments to try to dissect. It's not the whole chapter, but it's a better part of the chapter that has these things. And we're going to look at some of the, as it starts and Jesus walks in and sees some things that happen, and I want for you to remember, if you feel that I'm picking on you today, this is the Holy Spirit that wrote this, these verses that we're looking at. I'm just pointing them out, okay? So the first thing we want to kind of look at is that Jesus talks about in this, as he sees all of these people showing up for this great banquet that was thrown, the first thing that he actually talks about are the best seats. Talks about those that have the best seats. Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11 says, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' But when you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbled himself will be exalted." And so again, I'm not going to answer these questions, and you don't have to if you don't want to, okay? But when we go to buy seats at a concert or a ball game, which ones do we try to get? I didn't... Listen, right? Yeah. Right? So do we try to get those same seats at church? You know, do we pick the euchre seats you know, the Bob Uecker, remember? Sits in the very back row. And so if you're sitting in the back row this morning, I'm not picking on you. It's just the way it is. Would we choose those? You know? Hey, a couple weeks, we got Grandparents Day coming up at school. Right? Do we fight to sit in the back for that day? Or do we fight to sit in the front? It's not, and what we're actually saying here is it is part of an attitude of being humble. And I know what many of you are saying. So we don't sit in the front seat because those are the best and we want to leave those for others. But just stop and consider when a visitor comes in. We've all been visitors at another congregation. And when we come and have to sit in the front row, how does that make us feel? Kind of weird, you know, off put a little bit. We're new here. We don't know what's going on. We don't know when the people behind us are standing up or sitting down or doing all sorts of different things. And so what it is that this seating here tells us and helps us, I hope, to understand that if it was always the same people here all the time, that might be one thing. But if that's your goal, then you as a church have a problem. There ought to be new ones that we hope come in and that are looking for a seat. And it's part of the greeters or the usher's responsibility to try to help them find that seat and that place. But, you know, as we said before or talked in the video, these seats all tell a story. And so we'll just be honest this morning. There's probably some people sitting out here this morning that don't feel like being here today. Just not the best. Not feeling the best. Maybe something in life's got you down. But I'm here also to let you know that this invitation, this great invitation, is something that ought not to be spurned. That we do look for that. The Lord, once you became a Christian, the Lord has offered you this invitation each and every Sunday to be here, to be around the table, to share in that bread that sustains us, that gives us that hope, that gives us that encouragement, and that love that we all need. And so just as we contemplate those best seats, what the Lord is really trying to get us to understand from here is don't think about yourself. Don't make it awkward on someone else. You come into a festival here that they're having, this feast that they're having, and you sit at the top spot by the host himself, and he's like, you know, I'm going to have to ask you to move because this party's really for somebody else. You were invited to share in that. And so it's about humility. It's about do our thoughts change based on whether it's for the church or for our own social event? Do we seek out different things? And believe you me, people notice. People notice. That's what the Lord's telling. I'd rather yourself not be humiliated if you just would first humble yourselves. Secondly, it's not about just the best seats, but maybe it's the best people. Maybe it's the best people. Well, I got to get there early so I don't sit by you know who. Right? Or maybe I got to get there early so I can sit by you know who. I always just thought maybe wouldn't it be interesting if we kind of labeled all the seats down, kind of like on the video where they had numbers. And then as we walk in the service, somebody's standing back there with one of those bingo machines, and they pull out where you get to sit. Where you get to sit. How many people will just be like, I'm going home. Now they're going to tell me where I can sit. Parable of the feast. They told you where you were going to sit. And so, what if I have to sit by somebody I don't like? Hey, they probably don't like you either. You're not exactly making their day, right? But see, those are things that we just need to let it go and get over. Now, if I'm going to ask this question, how many of you plan on spending all eternity in heaven? Right? Well, then we better get used to it here. Right? Because if you get to heaven and you say, I am so glad so-and-so is not here, you're probably going to lose your spot. Right? Right? But isn't that the way we operate? So those best people, Luke 14:12-14. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers or your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest you also they invite you back. Now just be honest with this one. Has anybody ever had a party that you didn't invite your friends, your family, your neighbors, or anybody that you knew? Right. And so, you know what that tells us? We're all doing it wrong. Am I right, or is the Bible wrong? Right? And so when we look at that, but again, it's not just into our home. I believe this is talking about our corporate assembly that we have. Is there somebody that we would not invite here? Again, if we do, if we have that thought, we need some reevaluation. We need some repentance in our life. I'm just here to let you know this morning, myself included, probably number one on the list, am not great at all these things. And so, you know, we say, well, let's bring a message. Who gets the most out of the message? Usually the one that's preparing it. Because I'm looking at this life and I'm seeing where can I do better? And if I can do better, then I'm sure there's others out there that can do the same. Verse 13, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. No, now look at this list. Invite the poor. This might be somebody who doesn't have a car to get here. So what does that mean? You might have to stop and pick them up. How about the maimed, the lame, or the blind? Oh, yeah, we meet down there on the corner, you know, right off the, across from the gas station there, telling a blind guy how to get here, right? Somebody that's maimed that needs some help getting there, or lame. So that means we have to have some involvement of making this happen. Well, I'd invite them, but you know, they live clear on the other side of town. I've done it before. Drive 30 miles out of my way, 60 miles round trip, go pick somebody up to make sure that they get to be here. If we So it's not about the best people either, because if you're only inviting somebody over to your house so that they'll invite you over to your house, it says you've got it all wrong. It says invite those that can't pay you back. And Help those that need the help. And this is a good one. Thirdly, how about our best excuses? Luke 14:18-20. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. See, this is the ones he had initially invited. And the first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. And I ask that you excuse me. I guess this might happen. I mean, we've probably all done it sometime or another, right? Bought a piece of ground without looking at it, right? Verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I would say, yeah, how many of us have ever bought a car without to look at, but hey, there are websites and Carvana and all those other places that are making that happen today. So I ask you to be excused. And I just really get a kick out of this one. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I was like, dude, depending on how long you've been married, most people would be like, I'm ready to go. We've got those that said, you know, because, you know, because you didn't know who she was beforehand. Now in this day, that might be the case, right? Go back to the whole Rachel and Leah whole situation there. But what they're saying is it's excuses. Would it have to happen right at that very moment that you'd have to go do that? Right? That you would have to go check out that ground at that very moment? That you have to go? Now, I understand sometimes things happen. But when they happen all the time, because, you know, I guess here's what I'm looking. So we're looking at these seats right now. We're scanning them all over. And there are some sitting here right now that already have in their mind that seat that you're in right now is going to be empty tonight. Right? There are those sitting here right now that have no intention. It's not even crossing their mind to be here tonight. Now, is that an excuse? Right? That would be worthy? Because we may give some excuses. I like to say there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. But you know, as we think about these seats, and we know that everybody has a story, but you can't share that story if you're not sitting in that seat. The main point of the lesson is this parable emphasizes the importance of humility and inexclusivity, highlighting that God's grace is extended to all people. We'll say this. All throughout Scripture, if God's people failed to produce, He'd raise up something else. He'd raise up something else. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I God's children? Am I God's people? As we looked at last week, the church, we are God's people. And so then, are we doing our best to produce? Because if we don't, remember, if we fail to give glory to Him as He should, don't think of yourself too great, because He says what He'll do is have the rocks cry out. And so he'd much rather have human people cry out, but if not, a rock can do your job. Right? Now, who do you think God would rather have? We know all nature cries out. We looked at that just a few weeks ago. But I think he'd rather have us, wouldn't he? Cry out. I think he would rather have, and I think he's happy that he's considers himself blessed that we're here today. But you know, just in the town of Harlan and Woodburn, Grayville, Hicksville, Fort Wayne, there's a lot of people that aren't given this even a first thought, let alone a second thought of being with God's people today. And according to this parable, that's who the Lord wants for us to invite. You got that buddy you know that's home sleeping right now? Get out your cell phone right now. Give him a call. Right? Let him know, hey, we're at church and we're thinking of you and we wish you would be here with us. Right? Wouldn't it be great if every one of us, all of us, could bring somebody new next week? And all of a sudden the deacons are scrambling around because guess what? Don't have enough chairs. Right? And then so then what would happen? Right? We don't like the sermon on what's in a chair. Right? Because now the preacher's going to ask us, those of you that can, please stand during the service. I've been going there since 1814. We all had a little trip. Right? I've been going there forever. I should be able to get a seat. Right? I've been there since we built this new building. I paid for these chairs. I should be able to sit in them. You're telling me you'd be so upset if we asked you to stand because we had so many visitors that they needed to sit in the seat? See, those are good problems to have, are they not? Because then here's what, so once we ran out of the padded chairs, here's probably one of two options our deacons are going to come up with. Bleachers are coming down, right? I can't sit in those. You do at all the ball games. Huh, anyway, all right. Or we got all these other white chairs to pull out. Well, I paid for a padded chair. Right? People, I'm telling you, I'm not making this stuff up. These will be things that come up in people's minds. Because the reality is, it's not about a chair. Is it? It's really not about a chair. Well, you've just been talking all morning about how it's been about a chair. In reality, it's really not about a chair. It's about your heart. And if we struggle with some of these concepts, then that's because in your mind, it is about a chair. It's about what you're losing out on, what somebody else is getting and you're not. And as Christians, we've got to give up this selfish mentality that Jesus died for only me. Now, I'm thankful he did. And I know you're thankful he did. But we've got to move beyond this whole idea. And I didn't want to end without our getting into our last point here. But as we said, in the kingdom of Christ, there's always chairs available to come in and join the gathering. Please don't use excuses. Don't be apathetic. Don't lie. Don't neglect your thinking, or negotiate your thinking, simply accept the invite, be here, be in attendance. And one of the phrases that we hear more and more often, at least I have been, I'm sure you have as well, that it's not just about being in attendance, it's not just about being here, it's about being present. Right? People always say, oh, your kids love it if you just spend some time with them. No, your kids love it if you're present with them. It's not just a matter of being in the same room. And God's the same way. Be present while you're here. It may be hard. We may not feel the best, but be present in what he asks us to do. So in saying that, what I'm going to say about these chairs, when they are empty, and we're not necessarily, because we leave these open for the servers, and we all get that, we know, right? But what I'm talking is, for the most part, most of you guys all sit in the same location every Sunday, right? We're creatures of habit. I don't know that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, unless we throw a fit because we don't get to, you know. But for the most part, what I do like about it is I can quickly glance over and say, oh, so-and-so wasn't here today, right? Because you do sit in the same spots. So that's a good thing. But so sometimes people shake it up and they do sit on the other side, and I'll be like, was so-and-so there today? Oh, yeah, I remember they sat over here, right? Or no, now they sat over here. And I'm praying and hoping that's not because you're mad at somebody, right? But just that it worked out that way. So I'm not saying, but here's what I do want to know. So when I look back and see, so that's why when Wednesday night when we have the different chair set up format, throws me all off because I can't figure out who's where. But if I look back, you know, and for tonight, you know, I'll get up here, and for example, if Beth's not there, I'll be able to quickly analyze, you know, hell, Beth's not here tonight. You know what? I miss you. Right? She's like, bah! Yeah. No, we do. Right? We miss the other one not being there. And this is our point. When we're here, if you're not here, you're missed. And I know it sounds like I was kind of coming down on everybody there for a while, but here's the truth of the matter. You're missed if you're not here. I don't know if you love seeing this guy, but this guy loves seeing you. And I can't see you if you're not here. Just a quick little story from the Old Testament on this. 1 Samuel 20, verse 18 says, you will be missed because your seat will be empty. Remember, this is the whole incident where Jonathan and David trying to figure some things out. Jonathan tells David that he will be missed because he knows that he will not be there after the new moon dinner. David had been spending time with the king's table, around the table of the king. And believe you me, the elders miss you when you're not around the table of the king. The evangelists miss you when you're not around the table of the king. Your brothers and sisters miss you when you're not around the table of the king. And so Jonathan is telling David that I'm going to miss you because you're not going to be around the table of the king, because David is now fleeing for his safety. But Jonathan plans to shoot three arrows. It's the whole three arrow thing, right? David's hiding off in the woods. They send a boy to find him. And if the boy is told that the arrows are behind him, keep going. You know, Jonathan's going to holler at a certain time. Keep going. The arrows are behind you. Keep going. David knows, don't come back. If they fall short, then Jonathan hollers out, oh, the arrows are up here. The arrows are up here. Come up here. He's going to say, you can come on home. But the fact of the matter is they had planned this out, and I use this many times at funerals for especially people who maybe have been in under hospice care, have been away from the services for some time, maybe in a nursing home having care given to them, that you know what? They may have been gone from us, and we missed them because their seat has been empty. How do you feel when someone's seat is empty? Right? when we look back and we know, oh, so-and-so, who sits there? I forget. And then we're like, oh, yeah, so they're not here today. Well, I wonder why. And so, like I said, you know, so when someone decides to miss, or a couple decides to miss, or a family decides to miss for 6 weeks straight, have you noticed? Because we've got someone in the body of Christ right now that's done that. This is week number 6. They haven't been here. Does that sadden you? Does it sadden you that you haven't noticed who it is? Maybe you have. Right? Because so many will say, well, you've got the list out there to check on it, see who's here. If you really wanted to, because I know I've seen you do it before on other things, you pull that phone out of your pocket and you take a snapshot of that who's out there list, and you could find out if you really cared. If you'd missed for 6 weeks straight, would you care? If you missed for 6 weeks straight, would you care if anybody called you? We all have this time of invitations. How are we doing? Do we let people know that they'd be missed? Just saying, you know, this whole series is on the church, and I don't think the church just wants, that the Lord wants for the church, the body of Christ here at Harlan, to just hang around that 170 number. I think he wants to grow. But if we don't take care and are responsible to the ones that are a part here, why would he give us more? Why would he give us more? We got to be responsible with what we have before he can expect us to grow. This is where each and every one of us can reach out. Let somebody know. Find out. Look around and see who's been sitting next to you that's not here. Let them know you care. Jesus cares. He cares about you. He cares about me. He cares about everyone here. And even beyond that, the same measure of thinking and love that he cares for you and me and us is the same measure of care and love that he has for the guy working at the gas station. The waitress at the cafe. The tellers at the bank. Right, Joe Beth? God loves everybody just the same. There is nothing you and I, just because we're Christians, can do to make him love us more. But there's nothing we can do to make him love us less. And that goes the same for all, each and every one in the world. He loves them just as much as he does you. He loves them just as much as he does. Shouldn't we do the same then? So really this part of this lesson is a challenge for us. We always say, we pray, you know, Lord, that we want to be the church that you're longing to come after. Well, I think he wants for us to maybe put in a little more effort. Try a little harder. And not to make us feel good, but we do it in that humility range that we talked about here so that others can honor and glorify God the way he intended for them to do. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, we urgently plead with you to come to him now before it's too late. As we go this week, we're all going to come in contact with somebody sometime, somewhere, that's not a Christian. Let them know that you love them, that Jesus loves them, and we've got plenty of seats for them to come and join us so that they can hear in the gospel believing in Jesus, repenting of their sin, confessing Christ as Lord, being immersed into the watery grave of baptism in the newness of life, and then do their best as we try to help each other along the way. Wouldn't it be great to have more people to encourage us? More people for us to encourage? It really would truly be a good and great thing. So are we going to take it to heart? One person this week. Step out of your comfort zone and make the effort. I'm just going to let you know ahead of time. They're probably going to say, oh, thank you for that, but I can't. They're going to offer up an excuse. And that's okay. Because it's not for us to make the building get full. It's up to us to send out the invitations. The Lord has been really gracious to us that He won't condemn us if we don't fill the building. However, I do believe there are some condemnation coming if we don't send out the invitation. Will you stand this morning? Send out the invitations. Bring them in to Jesus. Let them know that they all have struggles just like we do. But Jesus makes the difference.
Saying, seek ye first.